This is Batgirl, and you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
This episode of Legends of the Dark Knight features Steve, Mike, and Tara.
Hello and welcome to the long overdue Legends of the Dark Knight. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips. Joining me in this adventure into Gotham City are my dynamic duo.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello, it's TFG1 Robin. And
returning. And it's returning from the long hiatus back.
Yes.
Let's see. Well, it's 2013.
Yes.
It is the 20th anniversary of Mask of the Phantasm this year. So that's very, very interesting. And we're back, and we're going to be pumping these out. I think Steve and I had decided that we're going to pump out through the movies, or try to. And then once we get to the movies, we're going to kind of put the show on hiatus, right? Until you can get more time for Batman Beyond.
Yeah, well, how I kind of figured is if I can get time, and for those that don't know, in the Year in Review Geekcast Radio episode, I mentioned the fact that I'll be going back to school, so my time will be very limited unless I can get ahead, and then I'll be able to pump out more of these, but... other than that, it'll probably have to, I'm basing it on that I might have to wait until this particular semester is over, because then next semester it's one class, not two, so,
right.
Based on financial aid, so, but yeah, so that's more than likely what's going to happen.
Awesome. I am still trying and trying and trying to get Mark Hamill on, besides the fact that through his agents, he has said no a couple of times, or his agents have told me that, you know, Mark just doesn't have the time right now. I've heard him on, like, a million other podcasts. Kevin Smith had him on for, like, a multi-parter on Fat Man on Batman.
That was before we asked, though. It was the early episodes of that, so...
Right, but no, I had already sent requests before I had even heard anything about Fat Man on Batman, so... But I'm not saying anything against Kevin Smith's show. I like Fat Man on Batman, but I'm just saying it's like... We keep requesting, and he keeps going to, like, Talking Tunes with Rob Paulson, Fat Man on Batman, and that's all well and good, and I'm not saying anything against it. I'm just telling the listeners that we are still trying to get the Joker on this show. We will hopefully do it soon.
It would be fantastic if we actually get him.
Yeah. Yeah, it will be. So that's what's going on there. And let's see, what else? Steve and I have been doing a lot of Batman comic reviews over on Geekcast Radio, seeing as how in the comics, the Joker is back, and they are doing the Death of the Family run. Oh my god. Ugh, those books. Holy crap. Those books are so awesome.
If you're not a DC Comics fan, you need to... Well, obviously you are if you're listening to Legends of the Dark Knight, but...
True.
If you're not reading the new 52 Batman line, you need to.
Yes.
That's all I'll say here on that.
Sounds good. I'll go to my local comic shop and pick it up.
Yeah.
You know what? I know I haven't been here for such a long time, and I just want to say to everyone who listens to this podcast who's been asking where I am, thank you. It's nice to know that there are people out there who noticed my absence. And I've been very busy with school. I did graduate in June from my first degree program, which was broadcasting and film, and now I'm back for a second time doing journalism. As many of you may know off air, my goal is to be a broadcast journalist here in Toronto. So I'm doing that right now. I'm in the midst of that. And basically just been, you know, kicking back, working on some of my side projects. I started doing bead art, which is you take these patterns and you have these beads and you melt them and you can create really cool things like 16-bit video game characters and a lot of other cool stuff, which I will post on the Geekcast Radio Network's Facebook page. So Check that out. And that's been occupying my time a lot. And basically just, you know, taking my post-grad program really seriously, but I really have missed being here. I will say that. And it's really good to be back. And I'm really looking forward to 2013 with this network. I've been on this network. What has it been now? Like 2 years, 3 years? I can't even remember anymore.
Something like that, yeah.
It's been like, yeah, it's been awesome. And I'm looking forward to another fantastic year with you guys and to continue this amazing podcast. So thanks, guys, for sticking around.
Yes, thank you. And with that, we'll be getting into the first episode of the night.
Are you all right?
Yes. Thanks to you.
Barbara! Hey, Babs! Yo, Bookworm! You up there?
What is it, Dick?
All work and no play, you know? Come on, let's do a pizza run.
Love to, but I can't. If I don't ace these midterms, Dad says he'll throw me in jail. And with my dad, that's no idle threat.
Okay, catch you later.
So our first episode tonight is Batgirl Returns. A jade cat from the Han Dynasty is stolen. Batman is instantly on the scene, but the Penguin starts shooting him with electric blasts from his umbrella. Batman prepares a batarang, but it is hit away by a Joker card blade. The Joker and Two-Face advance on Batman along with the Penguin. As they ready their weapons, Batgirl arrives and tells them to back off. She quickly manages to beat the villains down and goes to see if Batman is okay. Grateful, Batman holds Batgirl in close for a kiss. And unfortunately, like all good things, it's just a daydream, which is very sad. I love this episode because I love, like, exactly what I just read, just the opening of it. You think, oh my god, Batgirl loves Batman. Is this really happening? And then the way it ends with Dick going, Barbara, Barbara. And she wakes up and she's like, oh, God, that was really a dream? it was, this episode was a fantastic way to bring Batgirl back into the series. I think it was well written. I think it was great to see all some glimpses of our favorite villains in the beginning, even though it was just a daydream. And it was just very well done, and I enjoyed watching it. It's actually one of the few Batgirl episodes that I can actually sit through and not be bored. Because I will be quite honest, there are some episodes where Batgirl is the feature that are a little boring. I'll be quite honest. But this one, I have to say, it captures your attention, it grabs you in, and just love watching it. What did you think, Steve?
I thought it was quite interesting how they started it out. Usually they start out with some kind of an action scene, on most of them anyway, or some kind of a diabolical plot starting. But I thought it was kind of interesting that she was kind of, in a sense, in her dream, foreshadowing something that would later come to fruition in some point later in the DCAU. Because later on in Batman Beyond, it's kind of insinuated what happened. And I thought it was kind of interesting that Catwoman and Batgirl kind of had to work together against Daggett in this episode.
Yeah.
It actually gave them both something worth being in for once.
Yep. The funny thing about this episode is I like the episode, but we're talking off air about the movie that I don't think is in continuity. Sadly, even though it was a dream sequence, this episode ties Mystery of the Batwoman into continuity between this and Batman Beyond, because in Mystery of the Batwoman, it is alluded to, it's kind of like a hidden undertone that Bruce and Barbara have some sort of relationship in the future before Bruce gets old. And that's kind of where Mystery of the Batwoman falls in, and I wish that didn't tie back to this episode. I like this episode. I really started liking the Batgirl stuff when Tara Strong took over as the voice. I don't dislike Sarah Gilbert or the lady that did her in Sub-Zero, but I think Tara's version of Batgirl is just so much better. And it's the one I've heard the most. I like the episode. I like the whole back and forth between Robin and Batgirl. I thought that was cool. I like the fact that Catwoman almost goes over to the side of good, but as Bruce said in the episode, be careful, she plays games. It's very interesting to see them team up. Overall, I liked it, though.
I have to agree with you. I mean, Tara Strong does a fantastic job. When we interviewed her, I remember we got into that, and we were commenting on her voice as Batgirl, and she was a little bit taken back, and she just, because she was very humble about it, but it was so well done.
I misspoke. It was Melissa Gilbert, not Sarah.
This is the last one where she plays that role anyway.
Yeah,
because then in Holiday Nights, it's Tara Strong, correct?
I think so.
That's what I was getting at. It sounds like her.
Yeah, because it's
the redesign.
It's before she was strong.
Yeah. Tara turned off. Some trivia for Batgirl Returns. The episode is named after the second of Tim Burton's Batman movies, Batman Returns. Similar pun was made in a non-DCAU series, The Batman, where Batgirl's debut episode was called Batgirl Begins.
Nice.
Yeah, that was cool. Despite them being just in a dream, this marks the final appearance of Joker, Two-Face, and Penguin on the Batman the Animated Series. Now, to me, I know that they renamed the show two different times. The Adventures of Batman and Robin, which is currently what this episode falls under, and then the new Batman Adventures or the new Batman Superman Adventures. I'm sorry. The way that the DVD release is, it's Batman the Animated Series, all 108 or 109 episodes.
That's what I've seen, too.
I don't care. it's, you know, I know they had to retitle the show because of the redesigns and all that stuff, and that's all well and good. And I love the new theme for the new Batman Adventures, but I will still call it Batman the Animated Series throughout the rest of the show because that's what it still is to me.
I agree.
Anything else on Batgirl Returns, Steve?
I think overall it was a nice end to the animated series before they switched styles.
Yeah.
I would have liked a little bit more Batman, but I understand what they were going for, so...
Yeah.
But yeah, they did really well with Batgirl and Catwoman for once.
Yes, yes, they did.
Yeah, that's what I forgot to comment on, was the Catwoman aspect. I was so focused on Batgirl, I completely forgot about Catwoman. But what I didn't mention earlier is I like her wittiness at the end when she's like, yeah, I'll let them take me, but I didn't say how far I let them take me.
Yeah.
That was awesome. And I was true Catwoman style. And I mean, like you guys were saying, it you got the sense, you know, she's going to the side of good. She wants to help Batgirl. She's impressed with her and everything. But I mean, no, it's Catwoman. But this was an awesome episode with her.
I love at the end how she tugs on Robin's cape, like, no, we'll get her next time.
Because there will be a next time.
There's always a next time.
Oh, yes.
So, anything else?
I said all I got. You said all you guys want to say?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Well, then, we're on to the next episode.
I'm depressed, Red. Here it is holiday time and we're hiding out in this dingy rat trap. No presents, no fun, no nothing. Can't we at least get a Christmas tree?
What? And support the mad campaign of botanical genocide that grips this country every December?
Ah! But Christmas trees are so bright and fun and pretty! Oh, please, please, please!
Calm down, Harl. I've got a little plan that will make this the happiest holiday ever.
So tell me, Bruce, what does Gotham's most eligible bachelor have planned for the holidays? Skiing in the Alps? Sunning in the Bahamas? And more importantly, who's he taking?
Actually, I was planning on a quiet Christmas alone, Veronica.
Really? I wouldn't tell them that.
Who's them?
You're standing under the mistletoe.
Cheers.
Now, ladies.
May we give you a ride, Mr. Wayne?
No, thanks. I have my own car.
Oh, but we insist!
Season's greetings, Brucey. Your two favorite party girls are out for some Christmas fun.
Holiday Nights is the premiere episode of the new Batman Adventures. Despite being ordinarily... I gotta redo that. Sorry.
That's all right. I'll edit it out.
Sorry. Can I just restart?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Holiday Nights is the premiere episode of the new Batman Adventures. Despite being originally aired in September, this episode contains three Christmas-themed vignettes, all completely unrelated to one another. The first story stars Batman in pursuit of Gotham's dames, Poison Ivy, and Harley Quinn. The following tale is about Batgirl's confrontation with Clayface. And finally, we have the clown Prince of Crime on the loose with Batman and Robin trying to stop him. Okay, this has to be one of my favorite holiday-themed cartoon episodes that I've seen. And despite it being broken into three different little stories, I have to say that each of them had their own little thing, but I'm only going to comment on two of them, because the last one, which involves Joker, we're going to leave for our resident Joker expert, Mr. Steve. So,
yes.
To begin with, the first little thing we're seeing with Harley and Poison Ivy, oh my goodness, so funny. And it's also the first time we see the redesign of Miss Poison Ivy, who no longer looks like just a regular person with orange hair and a green bodysuit. She's all white, she's got dark red lips, and dark black hair.
She's an albino.
Yep, she really looks like an albino now. So that's one of the things that's new, seeing this, and it really is a turn for a new direction for the Batman series. It was just the first little episode was just really funny, because Harley is so bored, and she's always, you know, because she's the playful one, she wants to go and have fun on Christmas. But of course, her idea of having fun in Christmas is a little bit different than what Poison Ivy has in mind. So what do they go and do? They kidnap Bruce Wayne. They hypnotize him with Ivy's special lipstick. I don't really understand how that works, but that's okay. And basically make him go on a shopping spree at all these... I know they had to change the name of the major department stores because of copyright infringement, but you knew where they were going.
Yeah.
You knew they were going to Bergdorf Goodman and Macy's and all those big stores. And it was just funny, because the more Bruce is signing all the charges, the angrier he's becoming, which is hilarious to see. The little part that I really liked about the first episode was a little snippet of them trying on different clothes. You see, like Poison Ivy is the more fashionable one, with just, you know, she doesn't try to look like an idiot. Meanwhile, Harley doesn't care, and Harley is the stupid one, but it's funny at the same time. And the funniest part is when they both try on the same hat, and you think a cat fight's about to start out because they're both wearing the same hat. But instead, they just start laughing at each other. And then when they push him out the window, when they push him down the elevator, and they're like, "Oh my God, we killed him!" And then they're like, "Oh, we were gonna do it anyways. At least we have his credit cards." And you know that like Bruce has like had enough of this, mm-hmm. because he purposely fell down the elevator shaft. And then when he gets them, and the ironic part is that Harley, who had been complaining the whole time, "I want a Christmas tree, I want a Christmas tree." What does she get? What do they get taken out by? A big, yeah. Huge Christmas tree. yeah. Anybody, before I go on to the next little snippet, did you guys want to comment on the first little episode?
It's just a fun little adventure. I thought it was really interesting. I don't know. I liked it. It was just one of those fun, you know, I've said before on the show that when Harley and Ivy team up, it's really great. When they're with people or when they're together, it's great. When they're by themselves, it just kind of feels off. And it's just so fun because they're so, as you said, they're so such a stark contrast to each other as far as their personalities. You wouldn't think they would get along, but they do.
It makes no sense, like, thinking, like, outside, you think, like, how can these two people have anything in common with each other?
Yeah. Steve, any thoughts on this one?
Oh, I thought it was pretty funny. I mean, it was, I could see what they were going for, and it was kind of funny seeing Bruce being taken advantage of with his millionaire status, or billionaire status, my bad, and, you know, those two, I have to agree with you guys that they do work well together as opposed to being separate episodes. They just don't work.
Yeah, we've commented. Sorry if I...
That's all right.
Sorry about that. Because, I mean, we've commented in the past about their separate episodes, and we've said when they're by themselves starring in an episode, we've seen kind of, it kind of almost falls a little flat, right?
Oh, yeah.
little bit, it falls a little bit flat. It's like they can't really carry an episode by themselves being the main villain. There needs to be something. I mean, Poison Ivy's first appearance, I mean, I think it was a good first appearance, and I think she did sort of hold an episode on her own. But I think as the series went on, you know, they did fall a little flat. So when they started pairing them up, it made more sense to give them their own episode.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so, and yeah, go on.
I love the fact that all these episodes take place within a few days of each other. This first part's December 22nd, the next part's December 24th, and then the last part is December 31st.
Yeah.
Are we ready to go into the second little snippet?
Yep.
Okay, so the second little snippet, which we briefly mentioned, is Batgirl shopping, Barbara Gordon shopping for a present, obviously, for her dad, because she munches it. She's getting him a tie in a department store. And also undercover is Montoya and our favorite cop.
Yeah.
Our favorite fat Santa cop. I'm going to say that because he looks really fat in that Santa suit. And I know Santa's fat, but this seemed a little bit, you know.
Bullock as Santa is not a good image.
No, it's not, because he's just sitting there. And I mean, it's funny in itself. And the sad thing is, I really wish they would have given more time to this episode, which I'm gonna comment on in a few seconds. But I mean, seeing Clayface split into four different kids, just stealing stuff, and then you see Barbara just, you know, she goes behind there and she just immediately just changes into Batgirl, and you can actually see her changing into Batgirl.
Yeah.
And I mean, you're just thinking like, whoa, like, isn't, what if someone sees her? You know, she's just stripping. She's like stripping naked in the department store. Like, you know, what if someone sees her turning into Batgirl? I mean, she does really well in this episode. I just really wish that it wouldn't have been so rushed, because this whole little snippet felt very rushed to me. I felt like the most time was given to the first episode, to be quite honest. To Poison Ivy and Harley, I felt like the most time was given to that.
Yeah.
I haven't actually gone and, like, you know, said, oh, this snippet's this minute's long. You know, I haven't done that.
Yeah.
Just from a visual standpoint and just from, I guess, comprehending it, it just seems like it was really rushed. And I it was hard to, you know, really understand the story because it happened so quickly.
Yeah, it's pretty much an in-between.
Yeah, it's an in-between, because it's the middle between the first story and the last story. So I understand that, but I just feel like, you know, more could have been given to it, in my opinion. That's just how I felt, I guess, watching it. I mean, don't get me wrong, it was good for the, I guess, the 5-6 minutes I'm going to assume that it was.
Yeah.
But it just, in that aspect, it left me wanting some more, and I wonder if anyone out there agrees with me. Feel free to comment.
Well, I can see that, but at the same time, it's like, it was kind of like, and I think the reason why it is that short is because it does take place on Christmas Eve, and
mm-hmm.
I think they were kind of going for, oh, she's going to find a present for her dad, but oh, there's Clayface, yay.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where they just ended it way too quickly. Steve?
Yeah, it was kind of unneeded, but at the same time, I can get your guys' points. And I think these are actually all adaptations from a comic.
They are.
From the same one, I believe, too. So
they are.
It's shortened in some areas.
Yeah.
Is there more to it, though, than what we see in the anime?
I can't remember. I think I have it, but I think there's a little bit more, but not much.
I'm curious now.
And then the final part is the December 31st, and the Joker is the main theme of this one. How very fitting. This one, the Joker is promising good news and bad news. The good news is that for the next year, he will not kill anyone. The bad news is that he intends to make up for the loss in activity that very night. So...
Yeah.
Gordon tells Batman that the only murder that day was a Gothcorp scientist who specializes in sonics, and he was working on a new weapon powerful enough to kill anyone with an earshot. And Batman figures out that it's the New Year's Day countdown at Gotham Square, and that's where the Joker's going to set it off. So it's a wild goose chase, and the Joker, of course, being the funny guy he is, makes everybody dress up in plastic Joker masks in order to help him blend in with the crowd. And Batman cheats with batnoculars. That sounds like a 60s term. Like bat repellent, bats, you know, shark spray, yeah. All that kind of stuff.
Batman of the old, right?
Yeah, yes. The 60s TV series.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so he ends up obviously beating the clown, and in order to destroy the mechanism, takes the bottle of champagne from the Joker and sprays it on there, causing it to explode and the bell's pulley, resulting in it falling. The massive heavy bell lands on top of the Joker, who his last words is, ouch.
So, I mean, he's dead, right? But
no, he can never die. He was squished underneath.
But in normal circumstances, somebody would probably die from that.
The Joker would have died in the first episode he was in then.
Yeah.
He had a lot of near deaths.
He has definitely more than 9 lives, that's for sure.
Oh, yes. He's more than a cat.
Yes.
But then it skips a few hours after midnight on January 1st, and you have Gordon entering a tavern while the barkeep kicks everybody else out. And they speculate whether he might not show due to the hectic day he's had, but the commissioner knows that, of course, he won't break tradition, and Batman naturally comes out and makes an entrance, sits, talks for about 10 seconds, slips away, and pays for the bill. And it ends with Gordon surprised and then saying that one day he'll beat him to the check, and then heads home with a swinging bat close behind him.
That was my favorite part of the episode.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
It shows their friendship.
Sweet. Yeah, it was sweet. It was really cute. The only thing I'm wondering is, he's like, I want a cheesesteak to go. What happened to his cheesesteak? He didn't get it.
Yeah, you never know.
I know, it's just like, I guess that's what bugged me. I guess he's like, I want my cheesesteak, and he didn't get his cheesesteak.
He just forgot. He was too worried about the fact Batman paid the bill.
Oh, yeah. Because he wants to beat him to the check, but not gonna happen.
Yeah, because they're friends and they help each other. But
yeah, well, so Batman's freaking rich. He doesn't, you know, it's like
he doesn't know who he is, though.
No, he doesn't.
But
I think it's cool, you know, like having coffee with Batman after a hard day's crime fighting.
Oh yes. Jumping into production notes. This episode was adapted from the Batman Adventures Holiday Special, cover date January 95. The differences include the comic is in the style of Batman the Animated Series, as opposed to the new Batman Adventures. The comic includes a story that was not adapted to this episode called White Christmas, featuring Mr. Freeze after the death of his wife. Freeze breaks out of Arkham. And it says Batman finally captures him at the cemetery. He tells him he only wanted to make a white Christmas because she loves snow. Which, that would have been kind of cool to see over the Clayface thing. But
yeah,
at the same time, it would have been another filler piece, so it really didn't matter.
Yeah.
In the comic, there's a clear reference that Harley is Jewish. Which would have...
Well, I believe I could be wrong about this, but I believe Arlene Sorkin is Jewish. I think. I could be wrong.
I wonder why they didn't keep that in the animated series.
Probably just it was a footnote thing, and they just didn't want to. Probably just didn't want to do it.
For religious reasons, I guess.
Probably for some dumb reason like that.
Mm-hmm.
Stupid people in their TV? In the comic, the story featuring Batgirl and Clayface precedes the story featuring Harley and Ivy, which is interesting.
Yeah.
In the comic story, Jolly Old St. Nicholas, which is the Batgirl and Clayface episode, Barbara enters an empty dressing room to change into her Batgirl costume. In the episode, she ducks behind an abandoned counter. Interestingly enough, Bruce Timm and Paul Dini's original script for the comic had Barbara changing her clothes in the middle of the panicking crowd, trusting that no one would notice her. The publisher firmly vetoed this idea as too indecent, so instead she used an empty dressing room. The animated version seems to represent a compromise with Barbara changing between clothing aisles. Still out in the open somewhat, but mostly obscured.
Yes, of course. We can't show, you know, a naked Batgirl. That would not be appropriate for the viewers.
But that's funny that they tried to push the envelope.
Like I know, they really were trying to push the envelope. So it seems they got their compromise after all. And I just made a comment about that, how she's changing behind a clothing rack. And now that, you know, you've brought this to light, it makes sense now.
That's funny.
That is very funny.
The animated adaptation of the Joker story, What Are You Doing New Year's Eve, replaces three nameless goons with Mo, Lar, and Kerr. That's funny.
Yeah.
Robin was originally not part of the Joker story.
Yeah.
I guess they had to add him, though, because, right, because they already had introduced him in previous episodes.
Well, I think it had to do with, like, some kind of a contract thing, I'm almost guessing. Just so that they could include Robin, because it was the New Adventures of Batman and Robin, in essence.
Mm-hmm. Because in the comic, he wasn't there.
Yeah.
Mike, you want to do the trivia?
Sure. While the girls are shopping and the music is being played is based on the 12 Days of Christmas, the three late-night revelers singing Auld Lang Syne in the tavern are characters of Bruce Timm, Glenn Murakami, and Shane...
Lines.
The Joker's lines in the videotape message were reanimated and revoiced for an appearance in Bruce's records in Batman Beyond Return of the Joker.
Oh, that's interesting.
I will, that will actually be in this episode somewhere. I'll have to send that to you because I do have that.
Nice.
It's in the scene where, it's after the scene where Joker appears and Bruce is like, no, it can't be. He goes down. And
oh,
he
I remember the scene in the Batcave.
Right. He does. Yeah. It's from Holiday Nights. The only reason why I remembered it outside of reading it on the wiki is because of the fact that, Countdown of Victims starting at... I remember seeing that in Holiday Nights. I was like, oh, interesting. The football game, The Joker's Message Interrupts, features a commentator naming one of the players as Alteri. This is a reference to Kevin Alteri. In the comic, the player was called Starklings after penciler Richard Starklings. If you look at a lot of the BTAS episodes throughout the four seasons or four volumes... Every time Kevin Alteri is directing an episode, he finds some way to reference himself. That's fine. You know, hey, it's putting your mark on your work. That's great. The episode begins and ends in the same place, Joe's Tavern, which is opposite the Gotham Hotel, where Harley and Ivy are staying. So essentially, you could say that Batman and Gordon were staking the hotel out the whole time.
That's funny.
I did not put two and two together.
Yeah.
That is very perceptive of you.
I didn't even think of that.
I didn't think of that. Good spotting.
This also marks the last time in the DCAU until the Justice League episode Maid of Honor where Bruce Wayne speaks in a noticeably different tone than his alter ego. Yeah, they started blending them together a little bit too much, or Kevin did. Some of the women seen attempting to kiss Bruce under the mistletoe are previously seen in Batman Mask of the Phantasm, most notably Ms. Bambi. The crack in the bell after it lands on Joker is likely a reference to the Liberty Bell. And of course, as we said, Tara Strong replaces Melissa Gilbert as the voice of Batgirl. Overall, I love Holiday Nights. It's probably my favorite holiday-themed episode of BTAS. I think it's really great. Even though the Clayface vignette is kind of... just the overall... overall package is good to me for this one, so.
Yeah, I have to agree. This was a really, really good holiday episode. And it also kind of gave some of the characters a better viewing than what they've had in the past. And same thing with the Joker and his holiday episode.
Yeah.
I think this one is a lot better than the initial introduction.
Yeah.
So
we are going to be moving on.
Hey, kid, come back with my donuts. Yeah.
In your dreams.
Just wait till I get my hands on you, you little punk.
Gotta keep your energy up, Pops.
Open up, Drake. The boss wants to see you.
Up next is Sins of the Father, which retells the story of how Tim Drake came to be Robin. Steven, Tim's father, was once a member of Two-Face's gang, and now he is suspected to have stolen something. Although no one knows what, Two-Face's pursuit of Tim leads him on a direct collision course with Batman. Having always been an admirer of Gotham's own Dark Knight, Tim leaps at the chance to impress his idol. Now, this—I'm not looking at the wiki, but I know this is probably going to be in the trivia. This—the way that they came up with doing Tim Drake is that they combined elements of his story with elements of the Jason Todd character. So they actually didn't. I remember Bruce Timm said this in one of the commentaries. They couldn't decide whether they were going to use Jason Todd or use Tim Drake for the new Robin after Dick Grayson became Nightwing. So they just said, you know, we'll make him Tim. We'll put in different things that, you know, homage Jason Todd, but it is going to be Tim Drake. I absolutely love this episode, and I agree with Tara. It should have almost been before, like, the air date order should have been before Holiday Nights.
Yeah, because as we were saying, as I was saying before we went into this episode, if you when you're watching Holiday Nights before Sins of the Father, and you've seen regular Robin all the way up till now, and all of a sudden you see little mini Robin... Yeah. You're kind of like, what the hell? At least that was my first reaction when I first saw this.
And I think that if they had stayed true to the comic and not included, if they just didn't have Robin in the end of the Joker story, that would have been fine too. Yes, I understand it's the new Batman Adventures, the new Adventures of Batman and Robin, but the whole point here is to, you know, actually introduce the character, not just,
throw him there.
Yeah.
Which is what they did.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on this one, Tara?
To be quite honest, I have mixed feelings about this. In the beginning, I was a little confused because, again, you know, just because the order between those two episodes, it seems a little bit mixed up to me in terms of storyline. So, I mean, it was great to kind of see where Tim came from, because finally I'm getting an answer to my question.
Yeah.
And I'm knowing his backstory, and I'm knowing how he got this new Robin character. And I think it's cool because, you know, his father was involved with bad guys, and the Robin before, he wasn't involved, his family wasn't involved in dealing with them, but his family was murdered by them.
Yeah.
So it almost seems like there's a contrast between these two, which I'm not sure if it was intentionally done or not. But I think it was a good episode. I really enjoyed it. I mean, Two-Face, ugh, I mean, what can I say about Two-Face that I haven't already said probably in a previous episode? I just don't like the guy. And I don't know, I can't take his episode seriously. And I know I should be saying that for the Joker, being like, I can't, you know, can't take Joker seriously, but you take him seriously. Because he just wants to have fun. This guy is like, you know, it's like you want to shove a lamp up his butt. Just be like, lighten up. Because I don't know. Just, if it wouldn't have been for the backstory of Tim Drake, to be quite honest, I would not have watched this episode.
Yeah.
That's my thoughts.
Steve?
I like the backstory. I like how they kind of meshed the two different Robins. But overall, I could kind of give it or take it.
I like it because of the fact that it kind of has that youthfulness that we kind of had when we first saw Dick Grayson as Robin. And especially with Tim Drake being so much younger, because even with Dick Grayson Robin, he was still like junior, senior in high school when he first started, and then obviously moved on to college. So I like seeing the younger, like a younger, more snarky Robin. I like Tim Drake. He's turns into a creepy old man, but as a kid, he's pretty cool. You want to do the production, Steve?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and do that. When Batgirl unfolds the paper, we can clearly see that there is only one imprint of the key. However, having been folded up within the paper, it should be imprinted in two places, not one. Whoever wrote that had too much time on their hands.
Yeah.
When Batgirl is trying to turn off the countdown, it shows us at 10 seconds left, then again at 5 seconds, and it is 5 seconds in between them. But if you continue counting down, she would have pulled out the wires at 0 seconds, not two, as indicated on the machine.
Yeah, but with it being a two-phase episode, if it doesn't end, if everything doesn't end in two, then
it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the trivia, this and Chemistry are the only episodes of the New Batman Adventures to feature all four members of the Bat Team, not including Alfred, in the same place at the same time, though Nightwing appears out of costume in both occasions. Two-Face's appearance actually has a double meaning for the new Robin's debut, as the story with him and Tim's father is a connection to Robin's unnamed half, Jason Todd. Also, his fight with Robin after Tim was convinced that Batman would need him and came in the Robin suit is similar to Tim Drake's comic debut as well. The Robin suit display is a clear reference to Jason Todd's memorial in the mainstream comics, although Jason doesn't wear the suit himself until the DC Universe animated original movie Batman Under the Red Hood, where the suit is put up and the memorial as it is here. Like I said, I like the episode. I think it's a good introduction for Tim Drake. Could it have aired before or been in production order before Holiday Nights? Yes, it would have made more sense that way. But overall, I really, really enjoyed this one.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It wasn't my favorite.
Right.
I have to agree. I mean, it wasn't my favorite. I mean, obviously we'll get into our favorites later.
Yeah.
But it was okay. I mean, we've discussed really horrible episodes. I don't think this falls into that category.
No.
So, I mean,
Next week.
But yeah, it was okay. I mean, you have to watch it just to get the backstory of Tim Drake and find out like why the hell there's like a new mini Robin guy. But yeah, it was okay.
We are gonna move on.
Okay, Jack, we're going live in 3, 2, 1.
After 30 years of painstaking research and excavation, Dr. Margaret Madsen has brought the Ultrasaurus back to life, so to speak, here in Gotham City. I'd say the work has paid off very well for you, Dr. Madsen.
Quite frankly, Mr. Ryder, I never considered it work.
Hey, you can't come in here.
Okay, everybody.
Freeze!
Hey! I wanted to say it.
Show's over, handsome.
What's going on here? What do you want?
It's beautiful. So sad you have to lose it.
There isn't an archaeological institution in the world that would buy a stolen fossil. This wouldn't be worth anything to you.
To me, no. But it's worth everything to you, isn't it? I did not come here to steal bones, Dr. Madsen. I came to steal hope.
No! Why? Why?
Why not?
Bone chilling, isn't it?
Next up is Cold Comfort.
Creepiest episode ever.
Yes, as the name suggests, Mr. Freeze, unlike the past, when his ultimate goal was to cure and be reunited with his wife, this time he is only bent on malicious and spiteful vengeance as a way to lash out against all humanity. Because he decided if he can't have happiness, then nobody can. And makes the big mistake of targeting Bruce Wayne's loved ones. And also, with the revamp, Freeze is a hell of a lot darker and menacing and cold compared to his previous incarnation in the DCAU.
Yeah, this version freaked me out. Just gonna say that.
This version freaked a lot of people out.
You know what it reminds me of? Have you guys seen the animated series of The Mask?
Yes, I have. Yes. I know who you're referring to.
Yeah, that doctor guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder if that's where they got the idea from.
Yeah, the or maybe the other way around. Because I think The Mask, I want to say...
After.
No, actually, The Mask was 95 to 97, so it's kind of... anyways, my reference was to Praetoris, who has the head on skeleton, or spider legs, which is freaky enough.
I don't remember which commentary it was, but there's one of the commentaries on the DVDs where it might have been a commentary or a special feature where Bruce Timm says, you know, we turned out to, you know, we wanted to make Mr. Freeze a sympathetic character, a really emotional character, and then later on in New Adventures we, you know, turned him into a giant spider and creeped everybody the hell out.
Yeah, we just went from like, you know, we just did a total, we're just going to mind fuck with everybody.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Pretty much, yeah.
I mean, like, if I would have seen that version when I was younger, I probably would have nightmares, to be honest.
Well, I think at this point, didn't his wife? Oh no, she didn't die. What happened was
she's still frozen, right?
She got better. She got better, saw what he had become, and flat out rejected him. That's why he went down this road with this episode.
Makes sense.
Is because she didn't want to be with him after she had seen what he, you know, the criminal he became to save her.
Yeah. I don't blame her, though.
No, he became a freak.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me in Fantastic Four movie with the Thing. Same thing, right?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. With the one exception is Thing was actually a good guy.
Yeah, Thing is a good guy.
Yeah.
Freeze is an actual
same kind of motif, yeah. Thoughts on Cold Comfort, Steve?
I like the fact that they actually went in and he was pretty much taking out everyone and went to Bruce's house. And he had his Freeze girls. Like in the 60s show, which was kind of interesting to me.
Yeah.
It was kind of... it was interesting seeing him freeze Alfred. And Bruce is kind of like, yeah. But yeah, I liked this episode, and it was nice seeing Batman and Freeze go toe-to-toe.
Yeah, it was. It was really, really interesting.
I believe this is his last outing in the DCAU before Batman Beyond.
Yep. This is his
his final battle with Bruce, anyway.
Yeah.
And will we miss him?
Yes.
Not really.
Yes.
Not after this, no.
No.
You just don't want to see this the creepy head thing, which they remove after this episode.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I mean, the storyline was okay for, I'll say my little commentary, but honestly, yeah. I did not like this episode.
I liked it because of the creep factor of it.
Well, it had the creepy factor, that's for sure. And I mean, you don't screw with Bruce Wayne's people he cares about.
You don't mess with his butler, damn it.
No, you don't mess with Alfred. You mess with Alfred, you're gonna get smacked. Right? Yeah. He deserved that.
Huh.
Alfred's the man.
Some interesting trivia here as far as that goes. Well, no, it's not in the trivia. It's in, well, it is, but it's in the casting as well. What I found interesting with the Ice Maidens is that number two and number three are voiced. Number two is Cree Summer. Number three is Lauren Tom, who will eventually come back and voice Maxine Gibson and Dana Tan in Batman Beyond.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yep. It's like they planned this entire universe. They really didn't.
No, it was by the seat of their pants.
Yeah. What else you got?
But yes, as for continuity, Freeze's next and last appearance, as I stated before, in the DCAU is Batman Beyond episode Meltdown, where his head is being kept in storage by Wayne Powers. How this came about is not explained in the animated continuity, but Batman Adventures Volume 2, number 15, based on the continuity, explains that the head was acquired by Derek Powers' father. Why would you want the Freeze head? But anyways, production inconsistencies. This episode has many of them. At the beginning, when the man tells the girls in the parkas they can't be there, he steps towards them, away from the cameraman, but moments later, in another frame, we see him once more back next to the cameraman. When Batman leaps at Mr. Freeze on stage, they slide back behind where the painting once was, but when Freeze tosses him, they are in front of the painting's former placement. When Batgirl stumbles upon the Freeze suit, she and Batman hear the voices and run across the room, about 7 running steps, yet when they come out, it's simply a narrow hallway that is barely 5 people wide.
Yeah.
When Batman goes first to the lower level, he needs to use his flashlight. But when he hears the voices, immediately after looking at the Freeze suit, he puts away his flashlight and runs across the room. Doesn't he still need it?
Yeah.
Freeze's suit changes in size between shots. And Dr. Madsen tells Freeze no one would buy a stolen fossil. However, the Ultrasaurus is a skeleton, not a fossil. Nice. Getting into the trivia, Mr. Freeze's original character design for BTAS was done by Michael Mignola at the request of Bruce Timm. Mignola's own comics feature at least 2 characters who exist as disembodied heads attached to robotic bodies.
Hermann von Klimt.
Yes, a mad Nazi character, scientist whose head is kept in a glass jar. Hey, that sounds like Futurama. And the amazing screw-on head. Wow, he really needed help with names, didn't he? And then, as you stated before, Cree Summer and Lauren Tom would both appear on several episodes of Batman Beyond as Maxine Gibson and Dana Tan.
Yep.
And this episode features the first appearance of Jack Ryder.
Yeah. Cold Comfort, I think pretty much we've narrowed it down to the fact that the episode is just really, really creepy. So there's that. That's pretty much all I have to say about it. It's just, it's too out there for me.
Anything for you, Tara?
No, I'm good.
Alrighty then. With that, we'll be moving on.
We'll be right back.
a dream again last night.
Well, that's natural. You're nervous about leaving.
How do I know he won't come back?
You've been healthy for 6 months, Arnold. That's good enough for the state, and it should be good enough for you, too. As long as you maintain a clean break from your past, I'm sure your alternate personality will remain suppressed.
It'll be strange to be out there alone. I mean, really alone.
And finally up today, we have Double Talk, which is the sixth episode from season one of the new Batman Adventures. After Arnold Wesker is released from Arkham, Bruce Wayne gives him a job at Wayne Enterprises to help him get back on his feet. Unknown to Wesker, however, outside forces conspire against him to force his return to crime. Yeah, this is a Scarface and the Ventriloquist episode. Nice. I like this one. I like the whole psychology behind it, because you've got this guy who really, really wants to break away from doing this whole ventriloquist dummy thing. And you've got Bruce Wayne, who is actually looking at the guy and not the dummy, and just saying that, oh, you know, you're a person too. You can be whomever you want to be. You don't have to be a slave to your inner demons. So I like it for that. The other thing I thought was really, really interesting, during a scene where Wesker is walking in the park, you can see Lois and Clark in the background.
Huh.
Yeah. They're spying on Scarface, I guess. Lois and Clark from Superman the Animated Series. Because by this time, it's actually because both series were crossing over, it is the new Batman Superman Adventures. So by this time in the series, it's no surprise that Lois and Clark would be in Gotham somewhere. But no, I enjoyed this one. I thought it was pretty good. Tara, what'd you think?
Any episode with the ventriloquist always kind of, like the previous episode, kind of creeps me out. Just because, you know, it's the ventriloquist, it's Scarface. So, I mean, it's a little bit creepy. But I did enjoy watching it, and I think it was well written, but it didn't really stack up with the other episodes that we discussed in this episode of Legends of the Dark Knight. Just in my opinion, it was okay. It wasn't horrible, but I mean, it wasn't that great either. So that's my thoughts.
Steve?
This episode, I've never been a fan of Scarface or the ventriloquist. Just because, I mean, yes, it's a head game thing, so I can kind of understand that. This one was a little bit more interesting, only for the fact that the ventriloquist was moving on his own.
Yeah.
So that was even more freaky, because he's talking to Wesker and, you know, they're seeing each other across the street from each other, and Scarface is trying to kill Batman and whatnot. But, yeah, it's not it's not a fun episode, but I think it's funny that Scarface finally, you know, kind of meets his end at the hands of the ventriloquist.
Yeah.
So it's like he kind of conquers it, but I could do without this episode.
Yeah.
But at least it made him kind of look like he went back to normal.
Yeah.
So we can kind of throw this episode in the pile with the other episodes that we didn't really enjoy watching.
I enjoy it for what it is. It's not an it's one of those episodes that kind of falls in the middle for me. I can watch it I can watch this more than I can watch the original debut of these characters. I like this one more than that one. Mm-hmm. So there is that. But at the same time, it's still showing you that deep down Bruce Wayne does, even Batman does care for people, even some of the criminals. So
Because essentially, Wesker, he's a tortured soul is what he is. So that's one of the reasons why I like the episode. Getting into some trivia here. During the Wesker's walk through the park, as I said, Lois Lane and Clark Kent will be seen sitting in the background. Dwarfs Hips and Mrs. Seeger are voiced by Billy Barty and Patty Maloney, who are both dwarfs in real life. Mel Winkler replaces Brock Peters as the voice of Lucius Fox in this episode. So, yeah, Lucius got a new voice actor. So that's interesting. Overall, this one was pretty good, I guess, for me. I liked it. That's pretty much all I got, though.
Alrighty. And so with that, we'll be back after this commercial break.
Legends of the Dark Knight will be back after this.
Beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.
Are you ready to have your dreams worked on? That's right, Beyonders. Season 2 of Tooncast Beyond is coming soon, and we will be talking all kinds of films from DreamWorks Animation. We'll have plenty of DeLorean Time episodes as well, so tune in August 1st, 2012, as TFG1 Mike, Optimus Solo, Steve Megatron, JT from Saskatoon, Sketch 1984, and more bring you the next season of Tooncast Beyond. You can find us on iTunes and on GeekCastRadio.com.
In the morning, I'm making waffles.
Oh! Donkey, shut up and leave me alone.
You can now hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smart way to listen to radio.
Welcome to my throne room, Future Tales. The Beast Unleashed podcast is over, not gone. You can hear more of this great podcast discussing all the episodes of Beast Wars and Beast Machines on GeekCastRadio.com. We include voice actor and writer interviews with stellar hosting by Steve, Mike, and Michael. Head on over to iTunes or the net, or else I will send you my vehicles to extract your spark and destroy you. Yes.
We now return to Legends of the Dark Knight.
So we're back. So what are you guys' ratings on the episode that we covered today?
Terry, you can go first.
Okay. So my order of episodes, my favorite one would have to be Holiday Nights first. My second would be Return of Batgirl because it was awesome. And then the last three really didn't. They're not my favorites. So just Holiday Nights and Batgirl Returns because they were awesome.
For me, I gotta put Cold Comfort coming in last place, Double Talk, Sins of the Father, Batgirl Returns, and then Holiday Nights is my number one, so those are mine. What about you, Steve?
My number five would be Double Talk, followed by Sins of the Father, followed by Cold Comfort, followed by Batgirl Returns, and then Holiday Nights. I think it's pretty much in unison that Holiday Nights is the best one of the night.
Yeah.
It was definitely the best one of the night.
Yes. And it was fun. And it was mostly fun because then at the very end you get to see Gordon and Batman sitting down for coffee.
Yeah. Even though I was being a little nitpicky, I know I was being nitpicky, but it was still awesome.
Yep.
So anything else, guys?
No. I think that's it.
Nothing for me.
Alrighty. Thank you for joining us for Legends of the Dark Knight. If you'd like to leave feedback on the show, there are many ways to do so. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can leave comments on all of our different podcasts, including this episode. You can rate our show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. We love feedback. We need feedback.
And if you're a Canadian listener, leave us feedback.
Yes, and then Tara will read it for us on the show.
Yeah.
Call the voicemail line, 502-526-5821. Please remember to tell us the show you were leaving the message for and your name. You can become a fan of us on Facebook by searching Geekcast Radio. You can follow us on Twitter at LOT Dark Knight. My Twitter name is at SCP21. What are your Twitter names?
TFJ and Mike.
At Tara Blair.
Join us next time when we discuss You Scratch My Back, Never Fear, Joker's Millions, Growing Pains, and Love is a Crock. So for now, I'm Steve Megatron Phillips with
TFJ and Mike.
And Tara the Rising Star.
Saying in the immortal words of Batman, I am vengeance, I am the night, I am Batman. Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Technical difficulties. Let's move on, shall we?